Okay, we're picking up 5 lines from the bottom of Yadalad Amud Beis. And we were discussing again yesterday the fact that Shammai v'Hillel made the takana of Tuma on the Adayim and that they didn't accept it, and the Talmidim came and argued about it, but Shammai v'Hillel led to that machlokas. But now the Gemara asks, wait a second, it wasn't Shammai v'Hillel who made this takana, rather, it was much earlier. V'Akasi Shlomo Gazar, Shlomo Melech was the one who decreed Tuma on the hands. Rashi quotes the Drasha based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Ervin, Rashi says, the pasuk says, "V'yoser shayar kol es chacham od lemasa das am v'izin chikar tikin mashim harbe." Besides for being smart, the Koelis, meaning that's a name for King Shlomo, he also taught knowledge to people and sought out and arranged many dinim. So the Gemara learns out from there that Izen is lashon, the handles, the Gemara says it's lashon of Ozen. The Gemara learns from there that Shlomo Melech came and made handles, he made tekanas for the observance of the Torah. That's the drush of the Gemara in Avi. So now Rashi, so the Gemara says, at the time when Shlomo instituted the laws of Erev and washing your hands, we know Erev Chatziros, multiple houses that are in Rosh Hashanah, Shlomo Melech still is Mesakein, that a person not allowed to carry unless you make a shutfus, that you have a piece of bread that's for everyone. So that takana, and also washing your hands, Yasa Basko V'Amra, and so then a heavenly voice came out and said, Bini im chachal nebecha, yismach libi gamani. The Pasuk says, that my son, that if your heart is wise, I'm also going to be happy. And also the Pasuk says, Chacham bini v'smach libi v'ashiva chorfi davar, my son, you should be wise, and I'm going to answer those who disgrace me. So again, these psukim are referenced to Shlomo Melech. So we see that Shlomo decreed Tuma on the hands, that was the baskel. So the Gemara says, you're right, Asla Shlomo Gazar Lekachim. Shlomo Melech originally made a decree for only for when a person was eating kachim would he say that you have to wash your hands. That is what Shlomo Melech's decree was. We saw that kachim is more machmer, even our shlishi, right? Even the shlishi makes a revi by kachim. So we see the reason that the kachim is more machmer, and Hillel and Shammai came later, and they're the ones who gazar off the truma, and they were the ones who decreed the hands for truma as well. And that would be the shalshelis over here, that Shlomo was the first one who made it. Hillel and Shammai only made it for truma, and then the Talmidim came and then accepted that halacha into Yudches Gzeros. That is what we're saying over here. Ketidus Gemara now. Gufa. We're going back to this statement that we saw before. Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Shmonasar Gazer, Shmonasar Nechleku. So Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says that 18 Gzeros, sorry, the Rav Yehuda says that there's 18 measures that they disagreed on, and the 18 measures that were discussed that day, and there was 18 things that they disagreed on. Okay? So the Gemara says, Vatanya Hushvu, but wait a second, the Braisa says that they really agreed, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel agreed to this, to the dinim over here in Yerchas Gziros. So the Gemara answers, no, Boba Yom Nechlik Ulmachar Shvu. So on that day they disagreed. This is what we mentioned when we first mentioned this, the Mishnah, is that there was an argument, and Beis Shammai had more people than Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel did argue with them and wanted to be Mekil on these Gziros. However, the next day when the rest of the Beis Hillel came around, they saw that, no, really, with these Gziros make sense, and they really agreed to it. So really everyone agreed. And everyone ended up agreeing. That's how the Gemara comes out over here. So now the Gemara goes back. Gufa. Amar Avuna b'shlosha makomos nechlechu Shammai v'Hillel. So now we're going to quote 3 machlokes that are mamish all over Shas. So the first one is the following. He said that, again, Rav Huna says that there's 3 places that Hillel and Shammai argue. So the first one is the following with regards to a shear of challah. So the pasuk says a person has a chiyuv to take off challah, or something like that. So you take off challah. So how do you know how much to take off? So the first answer, so the Gemara now says, Shammai omer mikav challah. Shammai says that how much you have to take off is 1 kav of flour. We're assuming right now that a kav is the volume that's going to be equal to 4 lug. And lug is also another name for a rova, meaning it's a quarter because it's a measure of a quarter of a kav. So what comes out from there is that a kav is coming to 24 beitzim. That is the first shita. So that's how Shammai holds it. If 24 eggs worth of flour, you'll have to take off challah from that. Hillel says you need 2 kabs, okay? That's what his shita is. And Chachamim paskin, not like Shammai or like Hillel, rather we say kav, umechta chayav b'challah. we assume 1.5 kabim is going to be chayav in challah. So how do we get this drasha? So the Chachamim learned out from the fact that it says in the pasuk over there, chalaschem or something like that, it says that it's your challah. So we learn from there that it has to be the size of the man in the midbar. So we know that the man in the midbar was the omer asira se'ifahu, right? That that's the pasuk tells us that the man in the parsha saman, some of them say those, right? That's the end over there. So it says that it's 1/10 of an epha. So in the times of the Torah, so 1/10 of an epha is going to equal 3 sa, and 3 sa is going to equal 6 kab. So then six kab is 24 beitzim, so which come out that an epha is going to be 432 beitzim. So with that in mind, when 1/10 of that would be 43 1/5. The very good mnemonic that the Shach quotes to remember this is the gematria of challah. Gematria of challah is 43. It's 43 1/5. Okay, we were not meaning that it's good. The fifth is important, but I'm saying to remember the number 43. The way to remember just the gematria of challah is 43. So that's how they come out. So therefore, they're assuming that if you convert the omer, you're going to get to 43 1/5 basim, and that's how we're going to paskin that amount is going to be the shear of challah. Okay, so that is what we paskin. So the Gemara says, Mishnah Amidos, when they increased the measures, because based on inflation and things like that, when they went into Tzipori, so after the second base of Migdash, they were increased by 1/5, then the Gemara says, then it's Amru Chamishas Revayim Kemach Chayavim Bechala. They said that it was 5 Revayim of flour is going to be chayav and challah. Or vayim is literally a quarter, so it's going to be the same as a lug. So it's going to come out again as 1 1/5 is a lugin is going to be the same as chamisha revayim challah. And Rabbi Yossi says chamisha p'turim. Rabbi Yossi says 5 revayim are going to be pater. However, chamisha vod chayavim. Rashi points out there's very little machlokes in between the two. It's a dakas and machlokes in the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin who discusses this more. Rabbi Yossi basically is agreeing that it's 43 1/5, maybe a tiny drop more than that. Okay, that's more for the Gemara. And Erevin, if you want to see a further discussion. The Gemara continues now. That was the first machlokas. V'idach, what is the second machlokas between Hillel and Shammai? Only 3 machloksim in all of Shas. The Gemara says the second one is Hillel Maloin Maim Shuvin Postlanus Hamikvah. We know that there needs to be 40 sa of kosher water that was rainwater that was in a mikvah. If you have water that's Shuvim according to Ruba Deruba Derishonim, there's one Meod, maybe the Bar Tanura, maybe the other suggests it's only a Psul Derabat, and most assume it's a Psul Deraisa, that it's fully not kosher mikvah, even a level Deraisa, drawn water is not a kosher mikvah, even a level Deraisa. So how much of drawn water would possibly your, if you have 40 stuff, I have 39.8, whatever, 39.5, what is going to possibly? So the first shita is Hillel. Hillel says that it's a melo hin mayim shuvim, a full hin of mayim shuvim is going to be possibly the mikvah. So what does that come out to be? This is going to be 9 kabin, I think. That's what it's going to come out. Yeah. No, sorry, 3 kabin. It's going to be 3 kabin. Meaning, so 3 kabin worth of water is going to passel a mikvah according to Hillel. So then we have Shechayav. So why do you use Lashon of Hin as opposed to just saying 3 kabin, which is a standard Mishnah amount? So then the Gemara says, because Shechayav Adam Lomer B'Lashon Rabbah Hillel, who is quoting this halacha, he quoted it in the name of his Rebbe, or Shemaya Vavtayon, who said it as Lashon of Hin, because that was Lashon of Torah. The Tiferes Yisrael quotes the Gra, I'm pretty sure he says that the Mamar said it wrong. They weren't able to say Chin, it was supposed to be like a Ches, but they were Gerim, so they said it wrong. That's a big Shaila, that Gra is the Rav Shechter always like to quote that Gra, that's very difficult. How could you say that you should say something wrong if your Rebbe said it like that? So then Rav Shechter always say, like, I'm supposed to quote Rav Soloveitchik and say, and start speaking with an American with a Yiddish accent. No, so the Pashtus is that the way the most Rishonim explain it is that they were using Lashon Torah as opposed to using the common lashon of the lashon of Mishnayos. Okay, either way, so that's what a person should say things on the name that he heard it from his Rebbe. Shammai Omer, Shammai said, Tisha Kabin. Tisha Kabin, it's 9 Kabin, so that's 3 times, he's more makil over here. He's allowing you to have 3 times the amount of Hillel. Hillel again said 3 Kabin passels a mikvah. Shammai saying up till 9 Kabin would not passel a mikvah. Again, we're talking within the first 40 sa. Once you have the 40 sa, to add in drawn water would not be an issue, maybe even ever, if you add, some say maybe if it gets a level more than 47 pashas, adding in after that point is really not going to be much of an issue at all to add in drawn water after that point. But we're talking about in the first 40 sub, before you got to a kosher mikvah, shame kosher mikvah, this is when this machlokas applies. The chachamim say, lokit vizeh, neither like the words of Hillel or the words of Shammai, rather, rather that the halacha is going to be, they're going to hold 3 lugim maim shuvim. And the Gemara qualifies this, shabosh, shnei gedarim, shabosh, 2 weavers came from Shar HaShpos, right, the dung gate, So everyone ended up agreeing to this, that it was Shloshamayim Lugim, Shuvim, or Pasal Mikvah, and that's how we Paskin also, three Lugim are going to Pasal Mikvah. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second, what's the third one? V'idach, what's the other machloka Shammai V'Hilla? We have two. So the Gemara says now, Shammai Omer, Kol Anashim Dayan Shaita. It's now Hilchos Nida now. So Imamish went all over. So Hilchos Nida, the halacha is, this is more nogeh for Tumah V'Tara, not practical Hilchos Nida, that back when they used to practice Tumah V'Tara, so the halacha would be that if a person who is Tameh and Ava Tumah touches something, as we've seen already a few times in these past Yudapim, they would make the food Tameh or anything that they touch Tameh. Also Kalim can become Tumah if they touch it, if they're an Ava Tumah. So a woman who is a Nida is an Ava Tumah. If she touches something, she makes it a rishon. She sits on something, I'm pretty sure she keeps that status as an avatumah. That's a big chumrah, but meaning that's the Torah tells you that, by a zav and a nida also. So, okay, but that's the point over here is the tumah of a nida. So how do I know when it is? So let's say she does bidikos, or somebody says, kol nashim dayan shaitan. So if they're going to become tameh at the time that they see it, the re'iyah on their garments, then they'll become tameh. However, before then, would not become Tameh. We don't have to assume that they were Tameh. However, Hillel says, no, Pekita Begita, only from, they used to do bedikas a lot, they used to check themselves, like a woman who's doing the Shiva Nikim nowadays, they used to check themselves also like every day to make sure, because Tumah Vatara purposes, anything they touch is going to become Tameh. So Hillel's very machmir, he says, only from the last time she touched and checked herself, would you be allowed to assume that everything she touched was tahor? However, let's say the last time she checked something was 3 days ago. So then, according to Hillel, everything she touched in the last 3 days is going to become tamei. The Gemara in Nida, I'm pretty sure, qualifies as only when it's talking about a woman who is seeing a re'iya shelo b'shas vesta, when it's not in her normal cycle. If it's a normal cycle, then he would really agree with Hillel. Okay, we're not getting mamash into all this pratim, but that's just to point that out. But Mipkid B'gida is a very big chumra. V'afilu yamim har, but that's the point we just before. Even if it's 5, 6, 7 days, she just saw the last tumah, everything lamafre retroactively is going to become tameh according to Hillel. However, Chachamim say lochid v'zev v'chazir. We don't paskin like Shammai is very makel or Hillel is very machmir. Rather, in a little bit of a middle shita, we say the following: elam eis meis meisel p'tir p'tir l'kida. We pick the more makel one. If she had done a bedika more recently, let's say in the last 10 hours, so then, or let's say like this morning, she saw it. So then she did a bedika. Then you assume only in the last 10 hours is everything tameh. However, if she didn't do bedika, let's say only 4 days ago she did a bedika, then b'kidah nesel meisel yedeis. Then you go after the last. The you would go after the last 24 hours, that she would only become only everything that she saw in the last, any she touched in the last 24 hours are tameh. Anything from 2 days ago, 3 days ago, even if she didn't do bedika till 5 days ago, only 24 hours. Anything 25 hours ago and more would not be tameh l'mafrei, would be tahor. So the Gemara now asks Vesul Eker, is an only machlokes in between Shammai and Hillel? There is another one. Va'ika Hillel mer lismach v'Shammai lo lismach. Another case, fourth case over here, and all of Shas. The halacha of smicha, a person has to put on his, when he brings a korban, a person used to put his hands on the top of the animal's head, and he used to press down with all his koach, and he used to, either, if it was a korban chatas, he would do a vidui and apologize to Kosh Baruch Hu, or if it was just a toad or anything like that, he would give thanks to Kosh Baruch Hu. So normally that's a chiyuv. However, on yontiv, there's a problem of doing that because touching your animal in that situation is similar to riding it, which is a gzera derabanan you're not allowed to do. So touching animals on Shabbos, that is a big shayla. Touching animals on Shabbos is mukta, very inyan liyoma for a dog. Anyone who's a dog would be shayla. However, they're not getting tight right now, but either way, it's mukta to have price your animals, so it's machlokas, does this negated by this halacha? So Hillel says, yes, you're allowed to lismach. Hillel says a person is allowed to, and not only that, he's obligated to do it even in yantiv, and Shammai says, lo lismach. But Shammai say, you are not allowed to lean because of the xerag darabanan, you're allowed to bring korbanos, obviously, there's chiyuvim daraisa to bring korbanos in yantiv. However, we do not allow you to do the smicha. So the Gemara says, that's another one. So the Gemara answers that. So the Gemara says, "Ki kamar Rav Huna heichadalika pluk the Rabus abadayu." Rav Huna said his statement only with regards to a dispute that no one disagreed before them. This is a machlokas that was really earlier. This machlokas already applied. The zugos the Gemara relates that the earlier people in Sanhedrin argued about this, and finally Hillel and Shammai argued about it, and they paskin the shayla finally like Hillel. So this was since it was an earlier machlokas, because we don't really count that because they were disagreeing on just what their predecessors had already disagreed upon. So the Gemara says, "But wait, there's another one." Someone who's harvesting grapes for the wine press, Shammai says that they're going to become susceptible to Tumah, and Hillel says they're not. We pointed out before that there's a din of chiyutan yitain, right? The whole drasha, that anything becomes Tameh only when a person wants it for the ratzon of the Bailim. Things can be mekabel tuma only from when it gets the shiva samashkin yad shach adam. Those seven liquids can make it tame. That's only when the guy wants it to become tame. So if I'm taking the grapes to the vat, so the thing, the all the drips that are coming out of it, all the stuff that's emitting from the grapes, are they going to create chiyutan on other things? Do you want that to be coming out or not? So Hillel says, Shammai says it's hukshar, and Hillel says it's not hukshar. So it's not. So the Gemara is going to have a whole, the next daf is going to discuss why would it be become hukshar? Why does the guy want these things to be coming out of his juice? He's bringing it to press it. He doesn't want it to come out. The Gemara is going to have it, and the whole next daf is going to have this discussion. However, for our purposes, the machlokas is, again, Hillel says it's not a problem, it's not become susceptible, and Shammai says that it is. So the Gemara answers now, barmine da'i dasam kashasik le Hillel Shammai. No, eventually, Shammai convinced Hillel, and Hillel eventually agreed with him. So, therefore, I am not going to mention that case. Now, the Gemara, we discussed something previously on the previous daf. On Yadalad, we mentioned this. So, the Gemara says the following: we pointed out that Yosi ben Yoezer from Yosef ben Yerushalayim, they are the ones that goes to Tuma, and anyone who goes to Chutz La'aretz is going to come Tameh Midarabanan, and also glass becoming Tameh. So the Gemara asks, historically, is this really true? The Gemara asks, V'harabanan d'shmonim shana gazer, it was the rabbis who lived 80 years before the Churban Bayit Sheni, the destruction of the second base of Mikdash, they're the ones who made this takana. Damar of Kana, k'shechal Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, shalchule, when Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rabbi Shmuel, came sick, they asked him the following, Rabbi, emor lana shnayim v'shosh advarim, shamarti lana mishum avicha. So tell us two or three things that you heard in the name of your father. His father was the famous Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, who the Gemara and Yavamas tell us wrote the Seder Olam. So if you wrote the Seder Olam, that's about all the generations of when everything happened. So the Pashas are asking something historical, which he answered here. So he says over here, what did he say? So he says, 180 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Pashta Malchus Rishal Yisrael, Rashi's this reference to the Roman, the wicked Roman Empire, started to spread over Kal Yisrael, and 80 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the rabbis already said that anyone who goes to Chutz La'aretz is going to come Tame. Interesting. This meaning they were foreseeing already the destruction and people are going to have to Chutz La'aretz, so they're passing shaylos for everyone has to go to Chutz La'aretz that they would become Tame in Urban and on glass. Arban Shoshokas HaBigdash, and 40 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Gal Salah Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin moved away. V'yashva b'chanios, and went into Galus, and it started sitting in the Chanios. This was the first stage of the Gullus. They went to a few Gullus after the Beis HaMikdash. There's also, we're going to see Usha, there's different places. I think there were Eser Gullus, like Keneged HaShechina, they went to Eser Gullus of the Sanhedrin. So the Gemara just takes a step back and says, wait a second, once we mention this Braisa, not getting back to our Kashi, at this point the Gemara just asks, well, my Hilchah, so what's the significance of the fact that the Sanhedrin went to Gullus? The Gemara says, Amar Yimetzach Rodimi, the Mashalo Dano Dine Knossos, to tell us that the Sanhedrin didn't down any dinim which are laws of penalty. What are laws of penalty? Things which oppressed a person has to pay, that it's not mammon. There's mammon and knas. Mammon is just what I owe you, I have to pay. Knas is things like if a person steals and pay back double, that's called a knas, because that's a punishment. Anything that's a punishment. The Gemara says anything that's set. Person who has to own a mefata, someone who rapes someone has to pay a set amount, doesn't matter who he was, no matter where they were, that also shows that it's a knas, it's a punishment, because the fact that it doesn't depend on the monetary situation of the person, it shows you no matter what you have to pay it, that is a knas. So the halacha, what we're saying over here, a knas can only be given by someone who has smicha, someone who, not the smicha we just mentioned before about on the animals, but the smicha rather, with the process from Moshe Rabbeinu, we had the person used to give heter ora to the Gemara Sanhedrin, all this again. I can't get into too much right now because we have to go weiter. But again, basically, someone who has smicha is only allowed to give the laws of knas. Anyone can do mammon. That's what we have nowadays. If a person wants to pay back double, you're not allowed to do that nowadays because we don't have smuchin. However, mammon we do have. We have batei dinim all over the world. So so the Gemara asks, however, dinim knasas agadecha, does mean that they didn't judge penalty law, the things that we just mentioned before, those are allowed to be done by anyone who has smicha is allowed to do it. They want to, even times Amoraim, they had smicha. So it can't be that you tell me that you're not allowed to judge dine knasos, even after the Gullus Sanhedrin. Rather, the Gemara says, fashos. The moment the Sanhedrin was Gullus, there's a pasuk that the Gemara learned it out from. The Gemara learned it out from that you should go to the base of Mikdash, only there, you're only allowed to be done dine nefashos, capital cases, when the Sanhedrin is in Yerushalayim. The Sanhedrin is not in Yerushalayim, no one outside, meaning any basin of 23, in any city is allowed to do judge capital cases. However, that's only provided that the Sanhedrin is functioning in Yerushalayim. The Sanhedrin is not functioning in Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to do it. So that once there was so much murder rampant at the time of the Churban Bayit Sheni, right before, already 80 years before, so They, 40 years before, rather, they already left because they didn't want to be responsible for the cases they were supposed to judge, and people are supposed to put people to death. They said, enough, let us go into Galus, and then we're not going to be responsible for this situation. So now, okay, either way, so we see over here, going back to over here, that we see that the halacha over here was enacted by the rabbis of the Shmonim Shana, and not by Rabbi Yossi, as we mentioned in the Braisa. The Gemara is to say, maybe that they're the same time. V'chitema b'shmonim shana na'ihu havu. Maybe you could say that the Rabbi Yossi also lived 80 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and it would be the same shita. It's not a historical issue over here. So the Gemara says that you can't say that. Vatanya Hillel v'Shimon Gamliel, Hillel v'Shimon Gamliel v'Shimon. Hillel and his son was Shimon, and his son was Gamliel, and then his son was Shimon. It's confusing over here because they all named after each other. No gunes yusan lifnei habayis me'ashana. They lived 100. They were around 100 years before the Chorban Habayis. Meaning Hillel was the first one who took office 100 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and then it passed on father to son. Right after Hillel came Rabban Shimon, then after him Shimon became Rabban Shimon Rabban Gamliel Azakin, then Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who was one of the Asari Rabban Malchus, and then with the Rabban Shimon that we know, Rabban Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnayos, that's actually a grandchild of that one. Either way, so Gemara says V'ilu Yosef ben Yosef Yisrael ben Yosef Yochanan Avu Karmetuva. He was one of the Zugos mentioned in the Mishnayos over there in Avos way before then. So you can't assume that they were the same time. So you can't possibly say that they were the same time. This gzera must have happened before. So the Gemara says you're right. So rather, Ella Asinus, rather, Rabbi Yossi, who was earlier, he came along and said, Gazar Gusha Lisrof. They decreed originally a person who goes to Chutz La'aretz that you should burn it. Meaning that's not a suffix. We said before, there's three levels of truma. If a person is sure that it became tell me you have to burn it. If a person is not sure, you don't burn it. You wait till it rots and then you burn it because you don't want to burn, you have a chiyuv to eat truma if it's kosher. So you shouldn't be burning kosher truma. And if you're mesupik about it, we let it rot and then we burn it. So the Gemara says already, originally they decreed that you should burn the truma right away. If a person comes into contact with a Chutz La'aretz and touched your truma, or if someone took out a whole glob of Chutz La'aretz afar of the dirt of Chutz La'aretz and touched truma, you would burn it. However, they said that a person who goes to Chutz La'aretz, let's say he was riding a donkey or he was in a wagon or something like that, so he was only there, he never touched it, so then he would not be tameh. Someone, and the rabbis later of the 80 years, they came along, Gazar Ver Lissos, and they said on Tuma of the airspace, it's going to be a Tlia, that you should only suspend it and then wait and then only burn it afterwards and not burn it right away. So the Gemara is saying that that's a weird order. You're first saying to burn it and then to go to do Lisrof and then Litlo should be the other way around. You're going to tell me that they originally wanted to say right away that you should burn it. That's a very Chamor Dinder Rabbanan. Most of the times, like we said, when Rabbanan come and made an enactment, they said only that Litlo, so you should hold it up, suspend the din, and wait till it becomes rotten, and then burn it only afterwards. They're going to assume right now it's so chamor to say that you should burn it. We quoted before that Ilfa said that only Netilas Yadayim, washing your hands, they made it sounded like that was a chiddush. Only for washing your hands would someone do this dafka for burning. However, it sounds like, so it says, it sounds like over here that this original decree was only for burning with regards to washing your hands. I mean, however, for anything else, meaning this halacha, sounds like you assume that it would not be. It would be litlos. It would be, you should suspend the din and wait to burn it until it becomes rotten. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, it should be that way around. Also, inu gazar agusha litlos. They said originally that if your person takes a glob of the earth from the Chutz La'aretz, then you suspend the din and wait till it becomes rotten and then you burn it. However, they also said that, and also they said another kula, the person who rides or is in the airspace of Chutz La'aretz would come tameh. However, the rabbis of the 80 years, they came along, Gazar Gush Lishov, they said that any pile of dirt from truma, is going to be burned, so they're more machmer. And they also said, Avira Litlos, they also said, on the airspace is going to be dependent, and you wait, meaning that you wait till it becomes rotten, and then you burn it. So the Gemara says, Vakati Ba'usha Gazar, really going to tell me this takana was in the Churban Bais Hamikdash Rishon in that period. It was time of Usha, which was after the Bais Hamikdash. That was 100 years after. Usha was one of the last places that Sanhedrin went after the Churban. So that was 100 years later. So we're now again wondering the historical significance. How do I know this? We're going to quote the Mishnah. This is not. The Mishnah says, Al Shisha Sveiko Sarfanis of Truma. On account of six different cases, we're not sure about something, we burn the Truma. What are these? Al Safik Bais HaPras. The first one is a person, an area that touched the Beis HaPras, we're going to assume you would still burn truma. What is a Beis HaPras? Beis HaPras, Rashi told us, we saw this, Rambam says like this also, it's an area where a person plowed over a field and you're not sure We assume that 2,000 avos. The 2,000 avos has an area where we're not sure if there's an etzem kisaor, an amount that would a shear that would become tamei in that whole area. So therefore, midrabanan, it has the din of a suffik tuma. And so we're machbir that even if you went over a beis haras, the truma went there, or you touched the truma, or someone went to the beis haras, touched the truma, that would become this case, and a person would the truma should be burnt. Ve'al suffik afar efer rather habame er to amim, and so too any. Dust, literally, meaning earth, that comes from chutz la'aretz, also, we assume you burn. So that's this, the chiddush over here. Val safik bigdei ama'aretz, and also, someone who is, ama'aretz, we assume that his wife is a nida, and if his wife is a nida, he'll sit on his clothing, and if she sits on his clothing, those clothes become avatuma. So we're afraid, and this would be, if you follow halacha, then you wouldn't be afraid of that. However, we're afraid, since he doesn't know anything, most of his, all his clothing, we pass on any clothing of his, is going to become tuma, as an avatuma, we're assuming. Val safik kelim anim time. And also if you find utensils on the side of the road, we're assuming over there that they were probably touched by someone who was tamei. That's the reason. So the Gemara says, also safek arokin, if you find spit on the ground. If you find spit on the ground, we can assume that maybe it was from an ama'aretz, or strong enough for reason to assume, or a zava, so therefore, or nida, so therefore we're assuming that would be an avatuma. So you assume that if it touches your shumah, it also passes the shumah. Safek miraglayim adam. And also, if you find urine on the side of the street, we would assume again, because if it's from a zavar zavah, it become an avatuma, we would assume the chumra over here. Shekenegan miraglayim, even if Rashi is here as the chiddush, why don't you just the same as their roke, their spit? Because here you have a real sfeik sveika. Maybe it came from an animal, so that is, even if it's near the animal, even though it's a sfeik sveika, even that we're machmiran. Valvade magan, if you definitely touch this item with shumah, meaning if you touch the miraglayim, if you went over the base of pras or any of this situation, you are going to be shusafik tumas and fix the girsa. It's a suffik in the tuma, sorfin is a truma, you burn the truma. Rabbi Yossi Omer al suffik magan versus yachet. Sorfin Rabbi Yossi says that on the truma, a person would assume. And when it happens and the suffix is in a rishus yachid, then we say the normal principle about rishus yachid in a private domain, we assume the normal principle is suffix tumah rishus yachid is l'chumra. So that's what he says over here. The chachamim omrim b'rishus yachid tolin b'rishus harabim tohorim. The chachamim say that when it's doubtful case in rishus yachid, we assume that you wait till it becomes rotten and then you burn it. However, rishus harabim, we assume it's tar like suffix rishus harabim, which we assume is suffix tumah le'kula, and you can be mekel. That was learned out from Masoto. We mentioned that earlier. So now the Gemara continues. Va'amar ula elo sheshes veikos v'usha is kino. So now we see over here in this halachas we're mentioned in usha. Usha was much later. So how can you tell me that it was the time of the Shmonim Shana when usha seems to be when this hatakana of this halacha over here with regards to efer tumas ha'amim being tamei? So what's going on over here? So the Gemara answers, Ella asu inu. So rather, the answer is, Rabbi Yossi came along and said, Gazra gusha litlos. They say that a mound of dirt from chutz la'aretz, you say that it becomes a suffik tuma, and therefore midrabanan, you wait till it becomes rotten, and then you burn it. Va'avira v'lo klum, and they assume the person who goes, only travels by donkey or something like that, is not tamei at all. Va'asra banan v'shmonim shana. And the rabbis of the 80 years, they subsequently came and gazer idivid lidlos, and they said both of them are going to come, both, even if you ride in chutzar, you don't even touch the airspace, you're going to become suffik tuma, and you wait till it becomes rotten, and you burn the truma. The asub usha, now finally there's a third shells over here, this is the third step that we're now mentioning. In usha, they came along and say, gazer agusha lisraf, they say that you should burn the first person who goes into chutzar, you burn the truma based on that, vavira kedekai kai, but when it comes to the airspace, they assume that the halacha stays, you suspend the truma, and that's how they kept it. Okay, we'll stop over here for today.